Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Here we go, reading another five chapters of Bowser the Hound, written by Thornton W. Burgess. We will try to finish this book before March, but if we don't, we'll just have to carry on until it is done. I'm still waiting on a book idea from John for March's reading month, but I think I have an idea or two of what I can read for March. We'll just have to wait and see what happens, I guess. Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Chapter 21. Bowser becomes a prisoner. There is no one in all the great world more faithful than a faithful dog, Bowser the Hound. Bowser the Hound was a prisoner. Yes, sir, Bowser was a sure enough prisoner. But there is a great difference in prisons. Bowser was a prisoner of kindness. It seems funny that kindness should ever make anyone a prisoner, but it is so sometimes. You see, it was this way. When Bowser had been taken into that strange farmhouse, he had been so used up that he had had only strength enough to very feebly wag his tail. Right away, the people in that farmhouse knew what had happened to Bowser. That is, they knew part of what had happened to him. They knew that he had been lost and had somehow hurt one leg. They were very, very good to him. They fed him and made a comfortable bed for him and rubbed something on the leg which he had hurt and which had swollen. Almost right away, after eating, Bowser went to sleep and slept and slept and slept. It was the very best thing he could have done. The next day, he felt a whole lot better, but he was so stiff and lame that he could hardly move. He didn't try very much. He was petted and cared for quite as tenderly as he would have been at his own home. So several days passed, and Bowser was beginning to feel more like himself. The more he felt like himself, the more he wanted to go home. It wasn't that there he would receive any greater kindness than he was now receiving, but home is home, and there is no place like it, so Bowser began to be uneasy. "This dog doesn't belong anywhere around here," said the man of the house. "I know every hound for miles around, and I never have seen this one before. He has come a long distance. It will not do to let him go, for he will try to find his way home, and the chances are that he will again get lost. We must keep him in the house or chained up. Perhaps someday we may be able to find his owner. If not, we will keep him. I am sure he will soon become contented here." Now, that man knew dogs. Had Bowser had the chance, he would have done exactly what the man had said. He would have tried to find his way home, and he hadn't the least idea in the world in which direction home lay, but he didn't get the chance to try. When he was allowed to run out of doors, it was always with someone to watch him. He was petted and babied and made a great deal of, but he knew all the time that he was a prisoner. He knew that if he was to get away at all, he would have to sneak away, and somehow there never seemed a chance to do this. He was grateful to those kindly people, but down in his heart was a great longing for Farmer Brown's boy and home. He always felt this longing just a wee bit stronger when Blacky the Crow passed over and cawed. Chapter 22. Farmer Brown's Boy Looks in Vain. Loyalty is priceless and is neither sold nor bought. Alas, how few who seem to know its value as they ought. Bowser the Hound. As I have told you, Farmer Brown's boy had been all about the neighborhood, asking at each farmhouse if anything had been seen of Bowser. Of course, nothing had been seen of him, and so at last Farmer Brown's boy felt sure that something dreadful had happened to Bowser in the woods. For several days, he tramped through the Green Forest and up through the Old Pasture, looking for signs of Bowser. His heart was heavy, for you know Bowser was quite one of the family. He visited every place he could think of where he and Bowser had hunted together. He knew that by this time, Bowser couldn't possibly be alive if he had been caught by a foot in a trap or had met with an accident in the woods. He had quite given up all hope of ever seeing Bowser alive again, but he did want to know just what had happened to him, and so he kept searching and searching. One day, Farmer Brown's boy heard that a strange dog had been found over in the next township. That afternoon, he drove over there, his heart filled with great hope. But he had his long ride for nothing, for when he got there, he found that the strange dog was not Bowser at all. Meanwhile, Old Man Coyote and Reddy Fox and Old Granny Fox had become very bold. They even came up around the henyard in broad daylight. "I believe you know something about what has become of Bowser," Farmer Brown's boy said as he chased Old Man Coyote away one day. "You certainly know that he isn't home, and I more than suspect that you know why he isn't home. I certainly shall have to get another dog to teach you not to be so bold." But somehow, Farmer Brown's boy couldn't bring himself quite to taking such a step as getting a new dog. He felt that no other dog ever could take Bowser's place, and in spite of the fact that he thought he had given up all hope of ever seeing Bowser again, way down deep inside was something which, if it were not hope, was something enough like it to keep him from getting another dog in Bowser's place. Whenever he went about away from home, he kept an eye out for dogs in the farmyards he passed. He did it without really thinking anything about it. He had given up hope of finding Bowser, yet he was always looking for him. Chapter 23. Bowser's Great Voice. To long for home when far away will rob of joy the brightest day. Bowser the Hound. There is as much difference in the voices of dogs as in the voices of human beings. For that matter, this is true of many of the little people who wear fur. Bowser the Hound had a wonderful, deep, clear voice, a voice that could be heard a great distance. No one who knew it would ever mistake it for the voice of any other hound. As a rule, Bowser seldom used that great voice of his, save when he was hunting someone. Then, when the scent was strong, he gave tongue so fast that you wondered how he had breath enough left to run. But now that he was a prisoner of kindness, in the home of the people who had taken him in, when he had crept to their doorstep, Bowser sometimes bayed from sheer homesickness. When he was tied out in the yard, he would sometimes get to thinking of his home and long to see Farmer Brown and Mrs. Brown, and especially his master, Farmer Brown's boy. Then, when he could stand it no longer, he would open his mouth and send his great voice rolling across to the woods with a tone of mournfulness which had never been there before. But great as was Bowser's voice, and far as it would carry, there was none who knew him to hear it, save Blacky the Crow. You remember that Blackie knew just where Bowser was and often flew over that farmyard to make sure that Bowser was still there. So more than once, Blackie heard Bowser's great voice with its mournful note and understood it. It troubled Blackie. Yes, sir, it actually troubled Blackie. He knew just what was the matter with Bowser, but for the life of him, he couldn't think of any way of helping Bowser. That dog is homesick, croaked Blackie, as he sat on the top of a tall tree, scratching his head as if he thought he might scratch an idea out of it. Of course, he doesn't know how to get home, and if he tried, he probably would get as badly lost as he was before. Anyway, they don't give him a chance to try. I can't lead Farmer Brown's boy over here because he doesn't understand my talk, and I don't understand his. There isn't a thing I can do but keep watch. I wish Bowser would stop barking. It makes me feel uncomfortable. Yes, sir, it makes me feel uncomfortable. Old Man Coyote got Bowser into this trouble, and he ought to get him out again, but I don't suppose it is the least bit of use to ask him. It won't do any harm to try anyway. So Blackie started back for the Green Forest and the old pasture near Farmer Brown's to look for Old Man Coyote, and for a long time, as he flew, he could hear Bowser's voice with its note of homesickness and longing. Chapter 24. Blackie Tries to Get Help. You'll find that nothing more worthwhile can be than helping others whose distress you see. Bowser the Hound. On his way back to the Green Forest near Farmer Brown's home, Blackie the Crow kept a sharp watch for Old Man Coyote. But Old Man Coyote was nowhere to be seen, and it was too late to go look for him, because jolly, round, red Mr. Sun had already gone to bed behind the purple hills, and the black shadows were hurrying towards the Green Forest. Blackie is never out after dark. You might think that one with so black a coat would be fond of the black shadows, but it isn't so at all. The fact is, bold and imprudent as Blackie the Crow is in daylight, he is afraid of the dark. He is quite as timid as anybody I know of in the dark. So Blackie always contrives to go to bed early and is securely hidden away in a secret roosting place by the time the black shadows reach the edge of the Green Forest. Perhaps it isn't quite fair to say that Blackie is afraid of the dark. It isn't the dark itself that Blackie fears, but it is one who is abroad in the dark. It is Hooty the Owl. Hooty would just as soon dine on Blackie the Crow as he would on anyone else, and Blackie knows it. The next morning, bright and early, Blackie flew over to the old pasture, to the home of Old Man Coyote. Just as he got there, he saw Old Man Coyote coming home from an all-night hunt. "I hope you have had good hunting," said Blackie politely. Old Man Coyote looked up at Blackie sharply. Blackie is polite only when he wants to get something. "There was plenty of hunting, but little enough reward for it," replied Old Man Coyote. "What brings you over here so early? I should suppose you would be looking for a breakfast." Now Blackie the Crow is a very wise fellow. He knows when it is to be sly and crafty, and when it is best to be frank and outspoken. This was a time for the latter. "I know where Bowser the Hound is," said Blackie. "I saw him yesterday." Old Man Coyote pricked up his ears and grinned. "I thought he was dead," said he. "It's a long time since we've heard from Bowser. Is he well?" "Quite well," replied Blackie. "But unhappy. He is homesick. I suspect that the trouble with Bowser is that he hasn't the least idea in which direction home lies. You enjoy running, so why not go with me to pay Bowser a visit and then lead him back home?" Old Man Coyote threw back his head and laughed in that crazy fashion of his till the very hills rang with the sound of his voice. Chapter 25. Blackie calls on Reddy Fox. Saying what you mean and meaning what you say are matters quite as different as night is from day. Bowser the Hound. Blackie the Crow wasted no time with Old Man Coyote after he heard Old Man Coyote laugh. There was a note in that crazy laugh of Old Man Coyote's that told Blackie he might just as well talk to the rocks or the trees about helping Bowser the Hound. Old Man Coyote had led Bowser into his trouble, and it was quite clear that not only did he have no regrets, but he was actually glad that Bowser was not likely to return. "You are a hard-hearted old sinner," declared Blackie as he prepared to fly in search of Reddy Fox. Old Man Coyote grinned. "It is every one for himself, you know," said he. "Bowser would do his best to catch me if he had the chance, so if he is in trouble, he can stay there for all of me." It didn't take Blackie long to find Reddy Fox. You see, it was so early in the morning that Reddy had not retired for his daily nap. Like Old Man Coyote, he was just returning from a night's hunt when Blackie arrived. "Hello, Reddy," exclaimed Blackie. "You certainly are looking in mighty fine condition. That red coat of yours is the handsomest coat I've ever seen. If I had a coat like that, I know I should be so swelled up with pride that I just wouldn't be able to see common folks." "I'm glad you're not that way, Reddy. One of the things I like about you is the fact that you never allow your fine coat to make you proud. That is more than I can say for some folks I know." Reddy Fox sat down with his big bushy tail curled around to keep his toes warm, cocked his head on one side, and looked up at Blackie the Crow as if he were trying to see right inside that black head to find out what was going on there. "Now what has that black scamp got in his mind?" thought Reddy. "He never pays compliments unless he wants something in return. That old black rascal had the smoothest tongue in the Green Forest. He hasn't come way over here just to tell me that I have a handsome coat. He wouldn't fly over a fence to tell anybody that unless it was for a purpose." Aloud, he said, "Good morning, Blackie. I suppose I must admit I have a fine coat. Perhaps I do look very fine, but if you could see under this red coat of mine, you would find mighty little meat on my ribs. To be quite honest, I am not feeling half as fine as I look. You lucky fellows who can fly and don't have to think about distances may be able to live well these days, but as for me, I've forgotten when last I had a good meal."
"Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information, to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com, or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes, and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the space shuttle turned its place in history and has come to a final stop.